Wow. Lots of devotees. That says something. It says two somethings, at least. The number of devotees from the other gatherings that we had. There's more. I was told on the way from the airport to the temple yesterday. More devotees have registered, so there's probably at least two reasons. Interest is increasing and it's more convenient. Proximity. So, on the one hand, proximity has its advantage. On the other hand, proximity has a disadvantage. And I want to, not de-emphasize the advantage, but speak a little bit about the disadvantage so that we could get full benefit of the time spent together. The concept of a retreat is retreat. One is involved in stuff, things of this world, complications, complexities, duties, and an unending stream of things that keep us occupied, all of us. So many things to keep us occupied, we can't keep up with all those things. And in your homes, those things in your home just remind you of those things without listing them. You all know what I mean. So there's a disadvantage, retreat-wise, meaning even while here, when there's a retreat, you get away. And even when you're away, your mind is going to stuff. And then, after some days of being away from stuff, it kind of you get into what the retreat is all about. And the arrangement here is, that's not happening. Disadvantage. Advantage and disadvantage. So how to address the disadvantage and take advantage of the advantage. So I thought, I was meditating on this because when I heard more people, but also thinking on the disadvantage side. At least from my vantage point or perspective as a presenter here, I'd like to establish a theme of re-entering Vrindavan, our original home. That's my meditation I'm sharing with you in the beginning. And it certainly connects with the disadvantage part, bringing us closer to Krishna. That certainly also has something to do with what my life has been occupied with in the last month and a half. Before leaving the United States to go to foreign places, China and India, anticipation is a very important part of where you go. So I was anticipating going to Vrindavan and taking part in a visit to Vrindavan with a group of wonderful devotees. So that anticipation, before I left, I started speaking the last place before I left the country was I wanted to share with those devotees who wouldn't be able to come Vrindavan. So we spoke about visiting Radhakund because I knew our group wasn't going to visit Radhakund because the group was too big. Radhakund is too small, too tight. So he says, Radhakund. And then when I was in China, the whole, like, 1 week long discussion on the stages of bhakti leading to the highest stages of bhakti, from Shraddha to Prema, Madhurya Kandambani discussion, guided by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and then went to Vrindavan. And 9 days in Vrindavan, and then Kuromi in Jaipur, it says Krishna, Krishna, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan, in Vrindavan. That does something to, you know, leave behind stuff and just be in meditation of Krishna in Vrindavan. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Then I came back. But it didn't stop. It was discussion of Brahma Samhitan, especially the part of Goloka, the description, the beginning parts of Brahma Samhita about the realm of Goloka and what's there and the different parts of it, and Krishna in Goloka. And then when that was finished, it was revisiting the same place where I was before I went to India and China, and it was we finished the other four parts of Radhakund and Shamakund visit. So it's been Krishna, 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 Krishna. So here we are with the Japa retreat, and let us re-enter Vrindavan. You know, this is entering the retreat, and I'm presenting from my heart to all of you. Let us dedicate this Japa retreat to a mood of re-entering Vrindavan. What does that mean? Vrindavan is our home. And we left. And here we are. Just before coming here, I was in Chicago. And it was, at least, you know, just before Christmas, it was 19 degrees below zero Celsius. And -2 Fahrenheit. And it was a white Christmas. Dreaming of a white Christmas, it was a white Christmas. It was cold. You couldn't even see out the windows where I stay. The windows were all frosted over because it's so cold. Of course, we were warm. So now we're here in Texas. And it's a little warmer, much warmer. No snow. But it's different varieties of duality in a place that is foreign to us. In one sense, using Prabhupada's own life, he said, Vrindavan is my home. He wasn't born in Vrindavan, but he accepted and felt Vrindavan is his home. The land of Krishna is his home, and it's our home too. We were in Vrindavan for this yatra. There were a number of devotees that had never been there before. And at the end, they said, now I know what it means when I saw those t-shirts that say, I left my heart in Vrindavan. Because my heart is, I belong here. And I don't want to leave. I left my heart in Vrindavan. But Prabhupada left Vrindavan to carry out the mission or instruction of his spiritual master. And so he came to the West. And then he went back to India, and that also became his field of preaching. Prabhupada said, Mayapur is my field of preaching, and Bombay is my office. So people sometimes ask, Maharaj, you know, if they're meeting, where do you stay? And my answer is an airplane. But no, but is there a base that you work from? Well, I have an office in New York. I have a phone. It's in my name. I have a file cabinet. But, you know, I have a fax machine that I never use anymore. And it has a scanner, so that's my office. But, you know, that's my office. And then there's the field of preaching. Prabhupada's phrase is Prabhudatta Desh for many of you. There's some persons from other places, but addressing the devotees in Houston, this is your Prabhudatta Desh. This is your place, your field of preaching. And you each, wherever you, even in your home, you have a little place where you have your computer in your office, or you have your workplace and that's your office. But then there's our home. And our home is Vrindavan. But we left. So home is, Vrindavan is not just a physical place, as Prabhupada said. You cannot enter Vrindavan just by buying a ticket. Of course, you can buy a ticket. You get a visa and passport and enter Vrindavan. But that's not what entering Vrindavan is. It's something deeper. It's restoring that loving relationship with Krishna. That's home. When we're in our loving relationship with Krishna, we belong there. That's our home. Maybe next time somebody says, you know, where's home for you? I'll say Vrindavan. I left my heart in Vrindavan. Home is where the heart is. Left my heart in Vrindavan. It's with Krishna. So how does one go home? How does one re-enter? Because we belong there. It's our home when we left. So how does one re-enter that relationship with Krishna? Well, it starts, as the whole process of bhakti, starts with hearing. This past Christmas holiday, the theme that we were speaking about was very, very nice with Dravida. He's such fun. He's such a delightful devotee. Very wonderful association. Very deep person and very happy person. Hearing, chanting, and remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Because the process of bhakti begins with hearing, as we've all been engaged in hearing. And then we, of course, naturally discuss quality. So we're hearing the holy name. This is how Prabhupada introduced the Hare Krishna movement to the world, is through chanting of the holy name. In fact, he didn't call it the Hare Krishna movement. The media called it the Hare Krishna movement because wherever people went, there was the Hare Krishna people chanting Hare Krishna. So it was called the Hare Krishna movement by the media. When I go to Guyana, it's the Hare Bowls. Because when devotees greet each other, it's Hare Bowl. So they know us as the Hare Bowls, for your information. But it's Hare Bowl, chant the holy name, chant Krishna's holy name, the Hare Krishna. That's Naam, and we're here to restore our relationship with Krishna, re-enter Vrindavan, which means our relationship with Krishna and our feelings for Him, our love for Him, through Naam, Hari Naam, chanting of Japa and chanting of Kirtan. Especially, the focus of the retreat is Japa. But Japa doesn't stand alone, it's also with Kirtan. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote and taught that along with Harinam, this is the Yuga Dharma, chanting of the holy name, and there's the Japa type, and there's the Kirtan with musical accompaniment, Sankirtan type. And that's Krishna, Krishna Nam. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught that we don't worship Krishna alone. And the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we worship Krishna with Radha. And his teaching, Bhaktisiddhanta's teaching, is Hari Katha, like, you know, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and discussions about the pastimes of Krishna, qualities of Krishna, loving relationships that Krishna has with others, Hari Katha. That's Sarup Shakti of Naam. Interesting. I'll say it again. Sarup Shakti, as there's Radha and Nilamadava. We don't worship Nilamadava alone, there's Radha Nilamadava. When we're chanting, similarly, there's the messages about Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the everything in relation to Krishna, the abode of Krishna. So to re-enter into Vrindavan, to restore our relationship with Krishna, we do so through Sarup Shakti. And then there's Krishna himself. It's not that the messages about Krishna are different than Krishna, but it's Sarup Shakti, not different than Krishna. Radha and Krishna are one entity. It's a deep and meaningful and an important message. So during our japa retreat, we will also be having our Hari Katha to help us approach Naam. Chanting the Krishna's holy name through japa. Then there's also a quality of feeling that helps us re-enter Vrindavan, just like when one goes to the holy dham. It's standard to encourage those who are coming to the holy dham to do so in a prayerful mood at each place that you visit. Or to speak of as you take steps walking around Govardhan Hill, for example. It's not just the walking, it's the consciousness behind that enriches the experience. As an example, I shared at the beginning of our Govardhan Parikrama that please, as you're walking around Govardhan Hill, remember and meditate upon the fact that Govardhan is watching you. And Govardhan wishes to know, what is your desire? This is Krishna in the very merciful feature of Govardhan, because he's the Haridas Varya, he's the most munificent and exalted of all Krishna's devotees. According to the gopis, they see Govardhan as the most exalted of all Krishna's devotees. So devotees wish to assist others to have their desires fulfilled, specifically desires in relation to Krishna. So, sharing like that, a few devotees expressed, while walking around Govardhan, I was meditating. Govardhan is watching. What are my desires? And so a sense of reciprocation with Govardhan. And as they were walking, it just became more and more ecstatic. Several persons shared. So it's the consciousness behind. So we'll be spending some time during this retreat, encouraging and discussing how important is the consciousness behind what we do when we're chanting, specifically. So a prayerful mood. There's a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita in this connection, very famous verse. Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Anadir Bahir Mukha. This is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. A little bit, just the context. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Sanatana Goswami the grades of living entities and, you know, progressive higher and higher grades. So he is introducing in the early stages of his instruction, this is chapter 20 of Madhyalila, living entities that become entangled. That's us. We left home and we came to this foreign place. And it's not conducive for happiness. But we came here looking for happiness separate from Krishna. Krishna Bhuni Se Jiva Anadir Bahir Mukha Ataiva Maya Tari Deya Sansara Dukha. This is Prabhupada's translation. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature, anadi, from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy, maya, gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. Often quoted verse to explain our perplexed condition of what happens when you leave home, when you leave Krishna, when you leave Vrindavan. Not just physically leave, but your heart leaves Vrindavan. And then your home becomes something else, a foreign place. Jiva Goswami says, this is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to Sanatana Goswami. Just to amplify the point, Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha says the same thing. In fact, it's the introduction to the whole topic of bhakti. I like this very much. Jiva Goswami writes, if we can understand how we got into this material condition, we can then easily understand how to get out. Very simple logic. Like, we entered through that doorway to come to the temple. When we want to exit, we go through the doorway, because that's how we came in. Very, very simple. So, here we are in the kingdom of Maya. Now, how did it happen? It'll tell us how we can get out or re-enter Vrindavan on the other side. It's like on the river Viraja, on one side is the material energy, and on the other side is the spiritual realm. And of course there are different grades of existence in that spiritual realm. And our original home is Krishna Loka, where we belong. So if we're going to re-enter Krishna Loka, or re-enter Braja, Vrindavan, and our relationship with Krishna and everything else that is constituted of that re-entry, we have to give up that, have to let go, or be relieved from our dear friend false ego. When a living entity, according to our teachings of the Bhagavatam and Brahma Samhita, in order for the living entity to act upon that desire of independent enjoyment, Bahir Mukha Jeev is Jiva Goswami's expression from Bhakti Sandarbha. Living entity turns their attention away from Krishna. So when the living entity enters into the Mahatattva, into the field of the material energy, even before it's differentiated into the various elements, the first element that differentiates out or separates out from Vrindavan is false ego. Before we even do anything, we got one. False ego. And what is that? False ego. False ego is the sense that we're at the center. We're meant for enjoyment, and Krishna's not in the picture. That's false ego. So we're at the center, not Krishna's at the center. Little Krishna Katha or Hari Katha, just sharing, just to connect this message with Krishna's pastimes. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, there's transcendental pastimes that are eternal or nitya, lila, and there's another kind. Same as Krishna performs in Goloka, Krishna performs in Braja, in this worldly manifestation of Braja, or Krishna's pastimes here. But there's another feature. That other feature is, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is nimitta, or nimitya, which he translates as occasional. What does that mean? Like the birth of Krishna is one of those. In Goloka, there's no birth of Krishna. Another example is marriage of the gopis. In Goloka, there's no marriage of the gopis. But here, there's marriage of the gopis. It's a leela. And another is demons. In Goloka, there's no demons. But here, there's demons. So these are the occasional features, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains those occasional manifestations of Krishna's pastimes on earth are specific for earthly living entities that have false egos. In some cases, they're demons. In some cases, it's like Namakuvera and Manigriva. They weren't demons, although their behavior before Narada was not pure. And so, they were given the opportunity by Narada to stand as trees for thousands of years, deprived of the source of their pride, their opulence, their relationship with Kuvera, the special relationship that Kuvera has with Lord Shiva, and, you know, what a special pride. So he deprived them of the sources of that pride and allowed them to do what they seemed to like to do, stand naked. So they stood naked as trees. So after Krishna's nitya lila of reciprocating with Mother Jasoda, increasing the affection of Mother Jasoda by his naughty activity, so that Mother Jasoda, in her motherly mood, had to instruct her son and correct him from stealing. Our commentators say, Krishna, you've done two wrong things. You broke the butter pot. But I can forgive that. We have lots of butter. But you stole. And that's not okay. So I have to teach you. It's not okay to steal, because you grow up and say, thinking stealing is okay. What's going to happen? I must correct you for this. I must. This is her motherly affection. Krishna's not a thief. Everything is his. Whatever exists is his. So it's just a leela. But she's not thinking leela. I'm mother. So all of that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pastime with deep mystery. As she tries to bind Krishna, we know the leela. The rope is 2 inches too short, so she used her rational faculty and considered, I'll get some more rope and tie the two ropes together and then throw it on Krishna. It was still 2 inches too short. She got more ropes and still 2 inches too short. And the gopis were laughing. Don't you understand? Krishna doesn't want to be bound. It's not meant to happen. Just this morning you tied that little string around him and there was a little bell and that was no difficulty, but now you have all this rope. And they were laughing, and Mother Jasoda was laughing. And she said, one of our acharyas comments in this way, it's such a mystery. His waist is the size of a fist. And I have this rope that's 150 feet. And it still doesn't go around his waist. What a mystery. And then there's another mystery. No matter how much rope I get, it's still 2 inches too short. It's not 3 inches, 4 inches, 5 inches. It's still 2 inches. Or 2 fingers. What a mystery. And then, but she continues. Even despite the laughter, it's her motherly affection. Seeing that love of Mother Jasoda, Krishna withdrew one potency and exhibited another potency. His swashakti and icha shakti were withdrawn and his kripa shakti was manifest and he was bound. by the love of Mother Jasoda. We'll discuss this a little bit more later. This is Nitya Lila. And as soon as that is over, Mother Jasoda goes with the other gopis, and she's doing her other duties, and they're discussing this wonderment of Krishna. And Krishna's dragging the mortar here and there, just playing, because there's other boys with him, and he sends some of them, go get some butter, bring some butter. And he's just playing, like a little child. Lila. Nitya Lila. But then comes this Nimitta Lila, where he sees the two Arjuna trees. Then it's the worldly, the deliverance of Nala Kuvera and Madhigriva doesn't take place in Goloka. It takes place in Boma Vrindavan. And he considers, my dear devotee, Narada, made a promise. And I must uphold the word of my devotee, Narada. So I will deliver. So now his divinity is being exhibited in relation to Nala Kuvera and Madhigriva, the two Arjuna trees. He knocks over the trees. The whole rest of the Lila. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, each of those occasional manifestations of Krishna's pastimes in Braja, there's a specific purpose for them, for those of us in the material world. Krishna's clearing obstacles in our and their, and also in turn, our lives by hearing and meditating upon and remembering wonderful Krishna. Specifically, of relieving us, conditioned, turned our attention away, came to Houston, Texas, and, you know, separate from Krishna. We left our hearts in, you know, what do you call it? Sugar Land. At our home and wherever the place people live. So, in the Vatsasura pastime, one demon is sent to appear as calf, and Krishna right away recognizes that one over there, he's not one of the regular calves. And he pulls Balaram to the side and says, that's a demon. What do you think? Yeah, that's a demon. Look at the way he's looking at us. Definitely not the way cows look at us. So the Lila unfolds, and Krishna grabs the demon by his hind legs and tail and twirls him around and around and around, and by centrifugal force, the soul leaves the body and he's finished. Vatsasura is finished. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes in length and detail the nature of a living entity that's young, because this is a calf. This is when the Krishna's age is about 3.5 when this takes place. But he's exhibiting his prowess, his almightiness, his unlimited power, even if that's even but it's with Putta. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that in analyzing the pastime and what we should understand from the pastime and receive from the pastime, it goes into this whole long thing about children, when they're really small, they're childish. And one should not stifle little children's playfulness or childishness or frivolous activity. It's natural. He goes into a whole thing. A puritanical view says, oh, we can't do that. But that's not okay. But then gradually, someone that's immature and childish, in the nature of false ego, consider, those of you that have had a little interaction with children, It's completely self-centered. The world is me. And my wants. Without describing detail, you know what I'm speaking about. And a sign of becoming a little more mature is there's a greater world besides just me. And there's other persons that have feelings, and having a little sense of tuning into others' needs and others' feelings, and you know, feelings of gratitude for what is one is receiving, and not just like a need machine, an attention machine. One parent described children are like 24-hour attention machines. They just want attention and more attention. If they don't get attention, then you know, so for parents, how do you provide attention without spoiling the child? It's like, you know, I won't get into a parenting discussion, but maturity is there's something more than just me. And so, it's, you know, false ego is taking on another dimension. It's still misidentification of self with the covering. And the real stage of real maturity is Krishna's at the center. Yay! That's Vrindavan. Of course, the spiritual world is where Krishna is at the center, where the majesty of Krishna is not so much appreciated, but just the wonderful nature of Krishna. So, to re-enter Vrindavan, Krishna has to be at the center. So, because we have this video thing, I can't do what I wanted to do, but you just use your imagination a bit. I'm looking at a niche and I'm, you know, speaking to a niche. Then all of a sudden I just turn my back and stay there. Now how can I have a relationship with a niche if I'm doing like that? Or the deity. You come before the deity and you stand with your back to the deity. Does that make any sense? We come before the deity because we want to again recognize Krishna and see his beautiful form and appreciate the devotion with which he's being served and make our prayers and our offerings. So, re-entering Vrindavan means to do like that. This Bahirmukha Jeev has to be changed 180 degrees. And we turn our attention to Krishna, but there's an obstacle. It's our false ego. We want to be at the center. And that it's not just the mind that we're struggling with when we're chanting japa and it's wandering. Driven behind the mind, the driver, is false ego. It's more subtle. And we want to be at the center. Please. Or, you know, like a child, adamantly is insisting, I have to be at the center. Otherwise, I'll throw a tantrum. I'll cry or make noise or throw things or do whatever until I'm at the center. So, we're going to hear some more on this topic. But re-entering Vrindavan means Krishna is at the center. And Krishna is in his feature in the home, just like picture a king, majestic king surrounded by opulence and grandeur and decorations and high thrones and, you know, majesty and military and ministers and people come with their, what's going on within the affairs of the kingdom, and the king hears and the king decides. And then the king goes home. And it's, in his home, it's not like it is on the throne in the royal assembly. Like Prabhupada's example of that someone went to see one of the British ministers and he was busy and finally the person got so impatient they went inside and there he was with his grandson. He was there playing horsey. And he was riding on his back and giddy up and slapping him and let's go. And the minister was having great fun. Like that, that's Krishna in Vrindavan, where the formality He's still the same person, but the formality is dropped, and the, not just informality, but intimacy and love, and the intensity and strength of love, that's re-entering Vrindavan. That's Krishna. So despite Krishna's showing his majesty, the residents of Vrindavan don't look at that majesty. They look at the loving nature of Krishna and the very unique way in which he reciprocates with them and with all. And here we are doing the same thing. So the mood of service of such a loving person. We want to associate with Krishna. And how do you associate with Krishna? Through the medium of service. And the chanting of Krishna's holy name is service. It's not that cooking the offering is service, or worshipping the deity is service, or keeping the accounts is service, and then there's chanting. It's like something other than service. It's also service. That's, in fact, it's the wellspring source from which all of the services come. The chanting of Krishna's holy name, the Maha Mantra, has that meaning. Please engage me in your service. So it's when done from the heart, we can re-enter into that intimate position and the relationship with Krishna. Along with hearing the name, it's remembering the how-to part, if the teachings that we hear from scripture and our teachers and spiritual master and the preceptors and all the persons who are engaged in helping us to get to Krishna once again. So while we're at this retreat, what's our service? Real simple. If you're note-taking, write it down. And otherwise, you know, put it on your forehead. So as you're putting your tilak in the morning, you remember. Our service is to hear and chant Krishna's holy name in a mood of serving Krishna. I'll say it again. Our service is very focused. Hear and chant in a mood of serving Krishna in the form of Nama Prabhu, Krishna's holy name. That's our service. And from that, all other possible things can happen. Because the name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. So now go back to the disadvantage of being so proximate to your homes. There's the advantage. Here we are. We're together. And I've been meditating on this little example of taking pieces of coal, and what happens when you bring those, when they're in a distant place, their heat and the glowing capacity is whatever it is. But bring them together and bring them together and fan. What happens? Flame. The heat intensifies. So that's what we're doing. That's the advantage part. There's the association of one another. So I invite, encourage, when the, to get the maximum advantage of being close to your home, and therefore we have more people here. When we're engaging tomorrow in our 64-round day, or if some persons don't chant 64 rounds, we'll just, that's okay. We'll call it 64-round day. Try to stay, unless you need to, you know, get up and stretch or whatever it is. Stay together, because experience from these chapter retreats says it's very powerful. We don't have this opportunity every day. It's in your home or wherever you are and you do your chanting. This is special. So bring the coals together and watch the heat increase. It's very effective. It will help you get maximum benefit. Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha speaks the message this way. When there is chanting in the association of others who are also chanting, it is most effective because it awakens very deep feelings of bhakti. And that certainly applies to kirtan, and it also very easily can apply to japa together. Anyone who's done that knows what I'm speaking about. It's very powerful. But to speak of being in front of Radha Neela Madhava and their mercy, Kosha Rupa Mataji made some comment when we were at, she and her husband attended a festival of the Holy Name in Chicago, and I really appreciated the comment that she made, which was something like this. I've attended many japa retreats, and of course they're all very wonderful, but participating in this way before the deity that's worshipped on a regular basis with such devotion, in that case Kishore Kishori in Chicago, it's very special. So that's like the advantage part. Now, a little bit on the disadvantage part. Well, two things. When you go back to your homes, try to avoid the disconnect from the experience while here, and then just get involved in stuff. You know what I mean? Without detailing it. And similarly, when here, at one japa retreat, we did this little exercise. Because it's shorter, we're not going to do it. But I'll just describe it, so please use your imagination. Take some time. You took some time and had people write down things that are troubling them. And they feel it's important that they attend to those things. Kind of things. Write it down, fold it up, put it in a box, and leave it there. And at the end, we'll distribute the papers for whoever wants them. But while we're here, it stays in the box. Like, leave it behind. So try to do like that. Like, you know, cell phones and distractions. That's our daily routine. Distractions, as Ravindra Sri Prabhu says, distractions, distracted by distractions of distractions. Even when you try to, then it multiplies. It's deep rooted. So this is a commitment, an opportunity, and with it commitment to leave those things. They'll still be there when we're done, and you can attend to them another time. But while we're here, leave that to the side. And finally, a message of the contemplation of mystery. And because of time, I was thinking to spend some... I'll do a little bit. The mystery of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. It's a deep mystery. Think of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Like Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill. Amazing. Not only lifting Govardhan Hill, but the Govardhan Puja. Nanda Maharaj accepting what his little boy said, let us worship Govardhan Hill instead of Indra. And then Krishna manifested the form of Hari along with Govardhan Hill. And Krishna went before Hari and paid obeisances. Krishna's offering obeisances to Krishna in Krishna Leela. And not only that, Hari ate everything. It was gone. I mean, normally we make offerings and it's not gone, but it was gone. And it was a whole lot. It's like 2 miles worth of anukut. Sometimes in Govardhan Puja, we make many, many, many offerings. Isn't it? You do that here, I'm sure. Krishna ate it all. Honey ate it all and said he wanted more. Anyway, Mother Jasoda looking inside Krishna's mouth and seeing the whole universal form. And even it happened previously, one time in feeding Krishna, breastfeeding Krishna. And she just had finished feeding Krishna and wanted to gaze upon his smiling face. And little baby Krishna yawned. And she saw inside her mouth the universal form. And what went, just like having been in Vrindavan and going from place to place and describing and hearing the amazing pastimes of Krishna, it's like there's no limit what Krishna might do and what's next. It's just a big adventure. One of the devotees that attended the yatra was saying, I was thinking, who knows what bush Krishna might appear from behind and smile, play upon his flute and then disappear. So the mystery of Vrindavan is like that. And the holy name of Krishna is also like that. So in the mood of re-entering Vrindavan, be ready. In fact, be eager for a transformation of heart and Krishna doing something mysterious. Rather than same old, be ready for the reciprocation directly with Nama Prabhu, or the holy name of Krishna, to bring about a transformation. For worldly people, hearing about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, it's a big mystery, and some just call it mythology. So Krishna is a mystery to worldly people. And then when one becomes surrendered to Krishna and Krishna reveals himself to some degree, that's also a big mystery. Another mystery when we hear Krishna's pastimes. How wonderful is my Krishna. And then even more mysterious than that mystery is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani, wishing to experience the love of Radharani. In the place where I stay on the wall, there's a nice painting of Krishna sitting with Radharani and the gopis tending to Krishna and Radharani. And in the background is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wishing to enter into those pastimes and being struck with wonder. But it's Krishna himself. What a mystery when you contemplate. Besides, you know, oh, that's a nice story, what's next? It's a spiritual reality. And so, I invite you to join in this mysterious journey of going more deeply into the holy name. And again, sound be especially attentive to the sound vibration itself, the holy name, and to the Swarup Shakti feature of the holy name, that is the katha about Krishna, because it will help us get into that mood of being in Krishna's service with great jubilation and appreciation, attraction, in a prayerful, humble mood, in a mood of service, serving the name and serving the devotees and taking the messages that you're hearing and moving with them, serving them. Because these are simply messages of our acharyas, otherwise what do we know? And scripture. So serve those messages and await the mystery of what's Krishna going to do next. And reciprocate with us. And we in turn extend ourselves in great joy to further reciprocate with Krishna's reciprocation with us. in this way, it becomes a wonderful experience, a wonderful journey, a journey that has different stops, depending upon the mood with which we take up this activity, the time spent together for a little japa retreat. So this is entering the retreat message. And we'll, may you have a wonderful journey. This time spent together. So any comments or questions? One thing I want to read, the translation of a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Sharanagati in relation to the chanting of the holy name, Srinam Mahatmya, from Sharanagati. I'll just read the translation. What power does the name Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name, entering the core of my heart through the holes of my ears, showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. And then second, the holy name speaks from within my heart, onto the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up, my body shivers again and again, and my feet cannot remain still. In his writings, Bhaktisiddhanta said the same thing. When we're chanting the name, we should appreciate the fact that Abhinatam Nama Namino, the name, and the person named Krishna, are not different. So not only we can chant Krishna's name, but as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing here, the name from within the heart will speak to us. Just like the deity Prabhupada described in the installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish. He served the deity very nicely with humble mood, and he elaborated on that humble mood, and then said one day, the deity will speak to you. And he will say, I am like this. So we're in the sadhana stage, and that's like a very advanced stage where Krishna sees the genuine, sustained, exclusive desire to be in his service, and then he'll speak to you. So if you hear such messages, please inform us when you come to that stage. And that's what our acharyas have done. And so, we know that, so we want to hear those messages from them, take those messages within our heart, and become transformed. Okay. Any discussion? Oh, you're all satisfied. Very good. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Yes? Question? Why don't see where? Oh.
While chanting, attention is important, and also the rule of prayer. What is the third thing that we must have?
Service.
Food of service.
Yeah. You're serving, you're appealing, Prabhupada's translation is, please engage me in service. So it's a hankering for that. So it's a mood. Mood of service. It starts with literally the name. So serving Krishna. Serving name. And our service, when we're together, is here. That's a service. In the mood of service. And a mood of prayer. Recognizing the personal nature of Krishna. So it's not a mechanical, but a personal process, a devotional process. Yes, in the back? Mataji? Prasanna?
Mataji, you're talking about the Vrindavan experience and how it's very mysterious. Krishna's pastimes are mysterious. And, so holiness is like that, and we should be eager for transformation.
We should be what?
Eager for transformation.
Yeah.
And then finally you said we await that mystery. So I'm, the way it's being for me is like, so I'm just wondering how to not let the fruitive tendency come into that expect, I mean like rather, oh you know the holy name is going to do something for me and so how to not get into the fruitive mentality about the holy name that it's going to do something for me?
Well, the antidote is service. I'll say it the other way. As long as the fruitive tendency is there, that's Bahirmukha Jeev. It's not the mood of service, it's utilitarian. And that's not the mood of service. Utilizing Krishna for me, that's not service. So, I'm just repeating the problem in different language. So the antidote is the mood of service. So how do we pick up that and amplify or strengthen the mood of service? While chanting, contemplate what the meaning is. Is please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. And if we're contemplating the meaning, and using Prabhupada's language also, enter into the mood of the chanting. That's the antidote. Otherwise, it's utilitarian and fruitive. And that tendency is not, you know, minor. It's major. What to speak of worldly fruitive activity, even in the realm of devotional practice, fruitive tendency is very strong. We have our, as, you know, as you using your word, expectations, with me at the center. We're going to discuss this some more, but that's the answer to your question. That's the disease. We take the medicine to cure the disease. And the medicine is chanting properly in the mood that please engage me in service. Krishna, you're at the center. It's exhausting trying to maintain this artificial position of I'm at the center. Because I'm not. And it doesn't work out. The happiness doesn't come and it's never I'm at the center. It's an endless fool's errand of trying to, so, let me step away from that. But it's not just that dry renunciation, it's taking up the mood of devotion. Let me be in service to Krishna once again. That's the re-entry. That's the theme. Re-entering Vrindavan requires that mood. And then further hearing about the wonders of Krishna in his home in Vrindavan, not just his majesty when he's on the throne, but when he's in his home, intimately associating with devotees who just love him, and they're not serving him for any other reason than they just love him. How wonderful is Krishna. Let me serve him. Let me be engaged in that way of serving him without fruitive intention. The utilitarian thing. It's That's the antidote. Cultivate that. I find it's easier if it's concise. Like, you know, from that concise it can be expanded unlimitedly. But, you know, the mood is something that's very concise. It's in the heart. And that displaces the other. The fruitive one. We'll hear some more. False ego, I'm at the center. We'll hear some more about this. I promise you. And then the alternative. Okay. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks for the wonderful prelude. One of the purports, Prabhupada says, the mysticism of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. How do you understand that one?
How do you understand the mysticism? The mysticism of the Hare Krishna mantra? I thought I discussed that. No, I was using the word mystical. The mysticism is Krishna is there. And Krishna is there means everything. Okay, so let's let's just all together say Krishna's name once. Krishna. So now, when saying Krishna's name, Krishna's dancing on the tongue. Yes? But when Krishna's dancing on the tongue, what does that mean? Krishna alone? Krishna's there with Radharani. Krishna's there with 900,000 cows and the river Jamuna and Govardhan Hill and all of the loving associates of Krishna, because Krishna's abode and Krishna non-different, and all of that is there dancing on the tongue just by saying Krishna's name. That's pretty mystical. Etc. And as one continues, one can consciously enter into the association of Krishna and take part in the pastimes of Krishna, as our acharyas were able to do. And then describe back in this realm what those pastimes that they experienced in Krishna's association were. Or are. It's mystical. Well, Nijasarva Shaktis, just say it that way. All of Krishna's potency are invested in each and every one of his holy names. And consider, what are all of those potencies? And that's a lot of potencies. It's mystical. Everything spiritual, everything material. Compactly pressed into that sound vibration, which we're not realizing because we've got this other thing going on, wanting to be independent enjoyers and expecting Krishna's going to do something for me mentality. I mean, if our attention is turned towards Krishna, to that degree, it's like the real issue is me. So we don't have that appreciation, realization, experience. We have the distracted experience. But the holy name is mystical. We'll hear again some more. Okay, thank you all very much. Shri Prabhupada.